country man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan, boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Here's your hillbilly right here in North Dakota. And funny enough, I was born in New York City, not too far from where Donald Trump was born. My stock was from Nebraska. Mom and dad were from Lincoln, Nebraska. My dad was from Hastings, Nebraska, even smaller, much smaller. Well, here's your hillbilly Nebraskan here, James Kelso, with the Trump Phenomenon radio show for a mere hour together. Wonderful day. Last night I left saying, who knows what this amazing man will do in the next 24 hours. He did not disappoint, folks. It was an amazing day. It's not over yet. And I'll try to bring you just a few highlights, and you might bring in some insights of your own. You can call in at 800-313-9443 here on February 6th, 2020. Get up close to the screen so I can see that. And what else can we say? That about covers it. Well, the big deal, there were several big deals today. how did Charles Dickens write it? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Well, we had the worst. We had Nancy Pelosi, and people are now calling her the Great Ripper. No, the Grim Ripper. And, she put on a real clown show today. She gave a press conference, and then she also appeared at the National Prayer Breakfast this morning. That was that wonderful. Also appearing, unbelievably, only four people away at the same away from him on the table, Donald Trump. And he just ripped the Grim Ripper. It was wonderful. He said, "I don't like people who pretend to pray for me." Oh, ow, zing. It was wonderful. He also got in a dart at Mitt Romney, saying, "I don't like people who claim religion as a justification for their actual political views." I'm just paraphrasing and I'm botching it, but it was wonderful. He let Mitt Romney have it. It's wonderful. So there's the. But the real event of the day, the big event, Donald Trump in the East Room of the White House staging what could be called a victory celebration, a celebration of the ending of the Russia hoax, the Ukraine hoax, the impeachment hoax, the deep state coup d'etat. It was wonderful, wonderful. Everybody who was anybody in the patriot cause inside of government was there. I don't know, it looked like about 200 people, packed as many people as you could cram into the East Room. And then the president went around the room celebrating people like Jim Jordan of Ohio and Mark Meadows of North Carolina, Louis Gohmert of Texas. He celebrated the giants in our cause of the last couple of years. He also it got very personal, very wonderful, emotional. He brought his family up. He gave Ivanka a hug and Melania a hug, mentioned his boy, Barron, had him stand up, his sons. And he was sorry for what they have been through, the hell that they've been through. And I loved it. The president, you know this word that we no longer, I never use this word, do I? The president used the word today in the East Room of the White House on national TV in front of the who's who of the right. He mentioned that it's all, the word I don't use, bullshit. Did I say that? So anyway, it is all bullshit. And it was wonderful. He got to say that. He got to say, and I'll play it for you tonight. I'll find the clips. I'll find the spots and I'll play them for you. He got to say that Nancy Pelosi is a vicious person. Adam Schiff is a vicious person. He got to say they are evil, evil people. It was wonderful. Everything we say on this show, he said it only more eloquently, more powerfully. And, oh my gosh, it was just wonderful. Now, the executive summary of this victory celebration in the East Room. What we saw tonight is that Donald Trump, remember he saluted that, what was it, Sergeant First Class, was his name Williams, last night, who came home from Afghanistan to see his little baby and his daughter, his baby boy and his wife. I'll tell you what, Donald Trump, Master Sergeant, or Sergeant First Class, Donald Trump, and he ought to be presented with that rank, has whipped his unit into shape. It was a shabby unit when he was elected. The Republican Party was a mess. It was a sprawling joke. It was horrible. It was the Republican Party of John McCain and, yes, Mitt Romney. It was that political party, that Republican Party. Donald Trump, just like a drill sergeant, He took the Republican Party as his, under his wing, as his new recruits. And he got them up at Reveille. He got them up before Reveille. He got them out of their bunks. He got them to eat square meals. He taught them how to salute, how to stand straight, how to say yes, sir, no, sir, no excuse, sir. Oh, wonderful. And you saw it in the East Room today, where it was, and of course it was a unit, and I'm mischaracterizing it, of course, because he didn't beat it into them. He inspired it into them by his example. If you want to extend the military metaphor, it's like it's soldier in a unit who simply shows the rest of the unit bravery they've never seen before, determination they've never seen before, and brings the unit up to a standard they've never even dreamed of by his example. And that's maybe a better example of what Sergeant Donald Trump, Sergeant York, Donald Trump, single-handedly take out a machine gun nest, single-handedly capture an entire German unit. That's what Donald Trump did. And anyway, today he was with that unit in the East Room, and they were celebrating that Donald Trump has now put together, let's get off the metaphors here and analogies, literally, what has he done? He has built a team. And that team was assembled in the White House today. They were enthused. They were fired up. They were laughing. They were roaring. When he said it's all bullshit, they all agreed. And so this is an incredible, incredible achievement. This is a leader who now has an army. When he was elected, he was a leader by himself, with, you know, a few of us out there who believed in him, and the 63 million people who voted for him but didn't yet know how great he was. That he was a hope. He was the great, the great, dare I say, white hope. But he was the great hope of millions of people, including people who aren't white. And now he has proved to be what was just a hope. And that team was assembled in the East Room. It was wonderful. So I'll play a little bit of that. I hope some of you got to hear it. You'll hear snippets on the news, but only on Fox will you hear any longer excerpts. On any of the other networks, they'll take anything, even a glorious event, and they'll find some little snippet that they will chop up and then play out of context and to completely misrepresent an event. And President Trump is acutely aware of this. He'll be in the middle of one of his rallies and he'll say something. He'll say a sentence and he goes, that one right there. Yeah, you're going to see that one on the evening news. They're going to use that one right there, because he'll realize I just said something that could be used by these hacks, by these creeps. Oh, I love what Donald Trump called them today. Scum. Scum. He was in this case. Oh, this was wonderful. Here, let me play you a little bit of it. You can hear some of what he's saying. This is the beginning here.
It really is. It's a true honor to give it. Making the State of the Union speech, I was with some people that have been around. They've been all over the world. And one of them said, highly sophisticated person said, you know, no matter where you go in the world, it doesn't make any difference. There is nothing like what I witnessed tonight. The beauty, the majesty of the chamber, the power of the United States, the power of the people in this room. Really an amazing evening. I don't think there is anything like that anywhere in the world. You can go to any other country. You can go to any other location, any other place. It's the beauty of everything. It's what it represents and how it represents our country. I want to start by introducing some of the people that are here. I know some are going to be left out, but they work so hard. And this is really not a news conference. It's not a speech. It's not anything. It's just we're sort of, it's a celebration because we have something that just worked out. I mean, it worked out. We went through hell unfairly, did nothing wrong. Did nothing wrong. I've done things wrong in my life, I will admit. Not purposely, but I've done things wrong. But this is what the end result is.
He's holding up the headline, Trump acquitted. This is a happy crowd.
Take that home, honey. Maybe we'll frame it. It's the only good headline I've ever had in the Washington Post. I'll tell you. But every paper is the same. Does anybody have those papers? Does anybody have them? Because they're really like that, so I appreciate that. But some of the people here have been incredible warriors. They're warriors. And there's nothing from a legal standpoint. This is a political thing. And every time I say, this is unfair, let's go to court, they say, sir, you can't go to court. This is politics. And we were treated unbelievably unfairly. And you have to understand, we first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit. We then went through the Mueller report. And they should have come back one day later. They didn't. They came back 2 years later, after lives were ruined, after people went bankrupt, after people lost all their money. People came to Washington to help other people. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I say. They came, one or two or three people in particular, but many people. We had a rough campaign. It was nasty. It was one of the nastiest, they say. They say Andrew Jackson was always the nastiest campaign. They actually said we topped it. It was a nasty both in the primaries and in the election. But you see, we thought after the election it would stop, but it didn't stop. It just started. And tremendous corruption. So we had a campaign. Little did we know we were running against some very, very bad and evil people with fake dossiers, with all of these horrible, dirty cops that took these dossiers and did bad things. They knew all about it. The FISA courts should be ashamed of themselves. It's a very tough thing. And then we ended up winning on Russia. I should have taken the one day, as I said, and it took years. Then Bob Mueller testified. That didn't work out so well for the other side. But they should have said that first week, because it came out. Is that right, Jim Jordan? They knew in the first 2 days, actually. Devin, is that right? 2 days. They knew that we were totally innocent. But they kept going, Mark. They kept it going forever, because they wanted to inflict political pain on somebody that had just won an election that to a lot of people was surprised. I mean, we had polls that said we were going to win. We had Los Angeles.
Now, I'll just pause it right there. He said so many things in those last couple of minutes. But the Mueller, I love where he said it was all bullshit. You heard that. That's the highlight of the show. So I'm not going to have anything better than that. Then he said, this is this powerful thing. I mentioned the word scum. If I might hit it here, where he calls the top of the FBI, he calls the entire top of the FBI scum. That's amazing. Be thankful you lived to hear your president call the top of the FBI scum. Just wonderful. And in this talk at some point here, he's going to pull out the Peter Strzok and the Lisa Page exchange. But listen further.
Angeles Times and a few papers actually said it was we were going to win, but it was going to be close. And we did win. It was one of the greatest wins of all time. And they said, okay, he won. And, you know, I wrote this down because that was where a thing called the insurance policy. To me, when I saw the insurance policy,
here it comes.
And that was done long before the election. That was done when they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And by the way, Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid for millions of dollars, the fake dossier. And now Christopher Steele admits that it's a fake because he got sued by rich people. I should have sued him too, but when you're president, people don't like suing. I want to thank my legal team, by the way, not for that advice, but for other advice. Pat, you guys stand up, please.
His legal team standing up, which is about 30 people.
Great job.
About 30 attorneys.
Right at the beginning, they said, sir, you have nothing to worry about. All of the facts are on your side. I said, you don't understand. That doesn't matter.
Beautiful, beautiful. We'll be right back. Take a little break here. One of Trump's greatest orations. We'll be right back.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. Good times ain't over for good.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
More. It's the third time I've listened to it today. Donald Trump this morning in the East Room of the White House, an amazing victory celebration with the top people from the Senate and the House and all the people, the patriots in the House and the Senate, in his cabinet, his attorney team, his family. They were all there. Just a wonderful, warm, just, oh my gosh. And, you know, a bond was cemented here. It happened in the State of the Union address, but it happened in a more intimate setting with no opposition, with no turkeys, no losers, no vicious people in the room, which, you know, we had, of course, at the State of the Union, and that helped. That was, we needed to see them. They needed to out themselves. The Grim Ripper, Nancy Pelosi, needed to out herself. By the way, did you know this? That I mentioned yesterday that I noticed that she had separated the speech into four separate piles, but I didn't catch all of it. Somebody else noticed on a camera angle from the back, which I hadn't seen. They said, look at that. And she had on each of the four piles, she had pre-ripped. She had made a little rip in the middle of each of the piles to get them started so that when she stood up, right when the president ended his great address, she grabbed each pile and was able to neatly rip it in half because the rip was already started. So it completely pre-calculated. Now, this is a felony. The document that she was ripping up was the official presentation by the president of his State of the Union address to Congress, to the House of Representatives, and to Congress itself. That was the official document signed by himself. That is an official U.S. government document of some considerable importance. Destroying such a document is a felony under federal statute. And Nancy, piece of garbage, Pelosi should be prosecuted for that felony. She should be censured. Won't happen. There's going to be a motion tomorrow in the House, Friday. There will be a motion. Matt Gaetz and others are putting it forward to demand censure of Nancy Pelosi. Unfortunately, she has a majority in the House, so it won't happen. But Matt Gaetz and others, Devin Nunes and others, will force a vote. Even though they're the minority, they can force a vote. I don't know the exact mechanism whereby the minority does that, but they will force a vote. Well, I know how they'll do it. She'll rule them out of order, or she'll table the motion, and then Gaetz or one of the other patriots will say, I demand a recorded vote. And so then there'll be a division of the House, and the yeas and nays will be recorded. And that will, in effect, be a vote, yes or no, on censuring Nancy Pelosi. She should be jailed. She should be expelled from Congress. She should be convicted of a felony. They should reopen Alcatraz, keep her there within sight of her house on the hill there in San Francisco. One of the most despicable moments in the history of the United States Congress. One of the most shameful moments. But it's not a bad thing, because we needed that. We needed to see the inner soul of these people. And Trump derangement syndrome is causing them to act out, to lash out, and it's getting behind the mask. I am praying for the president constantly. That's the mask. That has to be ripped off. And at the prayer breakfast this morning, the president said, no, she doesn't pray for me constantly. It was so beautiful. Now, let's go back to the president. Here he is. He's 19 minutes into his address.
Smart campaigner. We learned out how good she was, right? She was a great campaigner. In fact, by the end of the campaign, I thought she was more for me than you were, Josh.
Let me skip ahead.
Things can happen when you fail so badly running for president.
Okay, now he's talking about Mitt Romney.
You were unbelievable. You were tough, and you are something. And one of the greatest supporters on the impeachment hoax was Josh Hawley. He was incensed, actually.
Senator Josh Hawley.
He was incensed at what they were doing and what they were saying. And that, it's incorrect. It's totally incorrect. And then you have some that used religion as a crutch. They never used it before.
Romney.
An article written today. Never heard him use it before.
Romney.
But today, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, it's a failed presidential candidate, so things can happen.
We got a little break here. We'll come right back to this point. Blasting Romney.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
States, we're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first.
Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed?
There's things to be done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first. Who's on the hill and who's watching the valley? Who's in charge of it all? God bless the army and God bless our liberty. Dadgum the rest of it all.
Hey, dadgum the rest of it all. Now I found it for you, folks. This was something today. We've got some callers waiting patiently. Norman in New York City and Barry in California. We'll get to you both. I promise. I'll talk faster so we get to you. Just hang on there, gentlemen. But you'll want to hear this, too. This is so good. This is our president today talking in front of now not just a Trump rally. I mean, as great as that is, You know, he can swing for the fences at a Trump rally, obviously. We go wild with enthusiasm for our president. But he's now talking to a new kind of rally. This is a Trump rally in the East Room of the White House. Trust me, it's just like a Trump rally. But who's there? Everybody in the Republican Party, except Mitt Romney and John McCain. McCain is dead and Romney is politically dead. But other than that, the whole Republican Party, House and Senate, is there. And they are now a team, welded, bonded, cemented together, inspired and led by their commander, who they now regard as their commander, President Trump. Now, listen to this. He does a little sort of skit, but a very serious skit. And he starts out with that thought. He said, this would have been very catastrophic if people hadn't uncovered this. Remember, what the president's about to read to you is the text messages between the lovebirds, the deputy director for counterintelligence of the FBI, Peter Strzok, and the lead attorney for the deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe. These are big people. And Donald Trump earlier, it's either earlier or in this clip, he describes them, the whole top of the FBI, as scum. Oh, my gosh. But listen to what he says here. And he says this could have been a catastrophe. This could have been an unbelievable tragedy for our country, because they were about to – he's going to read their texts about the insurance policy, which was their coup d'etat to take out a duly elected president of the United States. That, folks, is more than sedition. That is treason. Treason. And the president has tweeted that. This is treason. And now listen to how he presents this. This is amazing. This is not at a Trump rally. This is in the White House, in the East Room, in front of the people that are the powers of our party.
We've been treated very unfairly. Fortunately, we have great men and women that came to our defense. If we didn't, this would have been a horrific incident for our country. When you have Lisa and Peter, the lovers, the FBI lovers, I want to believe the path you threw out.
He's now reading from the text messages, which miraculously somebody saved within the FBI or the NSA. Somebody got their hands on these and saved them. He's reading them.
For Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, that's the office. There's no way he gets elected, meaning me. There's no way he gets elected. This is Peter to Lisa. He's probably trying to impress her for obvious reasons.
Remember, they're both being unfaithful to their spouses. They're having an affair. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
There's no way he gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take the risk. Now, think of this. In other words, if I get elected, they can't take the risk. Think of it. And that's where it came up, the greatest word of all, insurance policy. So he says, but I'm afraid we can't take the risk. She may lose. It's like an insurance policy. In the unlikely event, you die before you're 40. In other words, if I won, they were going to do exactly what they did to us. They were going to try and overthrow the government of the United States, a duly elected president. And if I didn't fire James Comey, we would have never found this stuff. Because when I fired that sleazebag, all hell broke out. They were ratting on each other. They were running for the hills. Let's see what happens.
When he looks down, you can't see him. He's looking down at the text of the messages between Strzok and Page. Let's see what happens. Is Page and Strzok talking to each other?
It's in the hands of some very talented people. We're going to have to see what happens. But I can tell you, in my opinion,
Oh, no, that's the president speaking. Let's see what happens. And he says it's in the hands of some very talented people. He's talking about John Durham and Bill Barr. But he's, you know, nobody's ever gone after these people. Nobody. The president has been acquitted, but has anybody gone after the felons, the traitors? Not yet. And you can see the president himself is skeptical. Is anyone going to go after them?
These are the crookedest, most dishonest, dirtiest people I've ever seen. They said...
Run that through your head one more time. These are the crookedest, dirtiest, most dishonest people I've ever seen. That's wonderful. That's the top of the FBI. The whole top of the FBI. The dirtiest, crookedest people I've ever seen. Most dishonest.
This is struck. God, Hillary should win. 100 million to one. This is about me. This is an agent from the FBI. Look how they let her off. 33,000 emails deleted. Nothing happens to her. Nothing happens. It's unbelievable. But think of that. God, Hillary should win. When these guys are investigating Hillary, then they go to work for Mueller, the two of them. And when Mueller found out that everybody knew that they were 100% this way, he let them go.
Now, remember this. Peter Strzok, this SOB, traitor, coward, creep, scum, dirtbag, Peter Strzok, with that smirk on his face. He is the same Peter Strzok was the one who went into General Mike Flynn's office, security advisor to President Trump. He went into Mike Flynn's office in a setup job after Andy McCabe had personally told Mike Flynn, no, you don't need to have an attorney present. We just want to come over and chat. And he sends in Peter Strzok, the same Peter Strzok, who was in charge of the investigation of Hillary. In other words, he was in charge of the cover-up. He was in charge of the hurricane operation to take out Donald Trump, the coup d'etat, treason. He's in charge of taking down General Flynn.
But they deleted all of their emails and text messages. So when we got the...
Oh, the president just mentioned that Bob Mueller, Beria Bob Mueller, deleted all of these messages that he's reading. The phones were turned over to Mueller so that he could do that. So that he could delete, reformat those phones, destroying the physical evidence. We have the texts because some brave patriot copied them out. But the physical evidence with which these people could be put in life, put in prison for life, at the least punishment, life in prison, that physical evidence was destroyed by Beria Bob Mueller, also a traitor. By that very act, becoming a traitor to America.
Phone, they were all deleted. Could you imagine the treasure trove? They illegally deleted. So they left Bob Mueller. He had the look, but he didn't have a lot of other things. Always had the look. Mr. G-Man. And I love the FBI, and the FBI loves me, 99%. It was the top scum. And the FBI people don't like the top scum.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? The top scum. The top scum. Remember that, folks. However this all turns out, however our country and our future may fare, you heard today your president call those people the top scum. Just let your heart sing that those words were uttered today.
So think of that, 100 million to one, and he's investigating me. And then, God, Trump is a loathsome human being, isn't he? These are the people looking at me. I'm really not a bad person. And Paige said yes.
Now, by the way, that was actually kind of a laugh line, but nobody laughed. You know why? All these people, very powerful people in that room, senators, congressmen, cabinet members, these are the most powerful people in America. They were spellbound. You can hear a pin drop in this East Room. At least 200 of them crammed in there, cheek to jowl. That was a laugh line. But nobody actually dared to laugh because they were realizing they were thunderstruck is the right word. They were hearing something the likes of which they and their whole political careers never thought it even remotely possible that a president of the United States would be calling the top of the FBI scum, calling them lowlifes, vicious, calling them evil people. They were thunderstruck, even so much they couldn't even laugh in a laugh line.
He's awful. How would you like to have that? This is the good stuff. This stuff 100 times.
That was another laugh line. They couldn't laugh. They know how serious it is. They know this is treason. They know that the people who did this should suffer the maximum penalty by U.S. federal law for treason. They all know that. And they know that it's their responsibility to haul them in, charge them, put them before a jury of their peers who will then convict them and then sentence them to the maximum penalty. This is serious stuff.
It's worse than that. These are all dirty people. And now I just heard that they're suing the United States of America because they were interfered with. We're not going to let it happen. Just not going to let it happen. We cannot let this happen to our country. Yeah.
Now that one right there, again, a thunderstruck audience. The only reason they applauded right there is that one person in the crowd, you can hear it, one person loudly started a clap. So others joined in. Had that one person not clapped, again, thunderstruck, there would have been no sound from the audience.
Now, and I don't know if any of you have anything to say. You could say it.
Now, that was his parting shot. And he does talk a little bit more. He does go on a little bit. But that was the end of his presentation. That was the capper right there. Was that discussion of treason at the top of the FBI. And by the way, will this be opened up? We know John Brennan is guilty. We know James Clapper is guilty. We know that James Comey is guilty. We know that they all work together. We know that the top Democrats, the DNC, Hillary, her whole campaign, Obama, Eric Holder, everybody, all of his secretaries of state and attorneys general, all of them guilty, guilty, guilty of treason. This was a coup d'etat, the overthrow of the government duly elected of the United States of America. Murder pales in comparison. Mass murder pales in comparison. Terrorism pales in comparison. All things meriting the death penalty. So this was one hell of a meeting today. And let me go to our callers. We have just enough time here to get in. Let's start. Norman and Barry, you're in line here. Norman in New York City, the once great New York City. What's on your mind, Norman? If we haven't lost him.
Hello?
Yeah, Norman. Thank you for waiting patiently. Thank you.
That's fine. So as I said before, I recently discovered your show. I think it's a great show. I'm a pro-Trump supporter. I was wondering maybe give me some advice. I wrote a pro-Trump song, which I think is a great song. I don't know what to do with it, though. I actually had sent it to a music studio, and it's like a country country song. It's professionally done.
I heard a demo of your song.
Really?
Listen, I can sing it. I've heard it. I've listened to it several times. The best is yet to come, and ain't it fine?
No, that's not.
That's not it.
That's not it.
Okay. What? Okay. No. So you've got a song, a pro-Trump song. This is great. Go for it.
Yeah, maybe you could use it. I think it would actually be a great song for your show.
If you send me a tape, I'll consider it. Sure. If you send me a tape, give me a link to a file or put it up on YouTube, and then
I can. Yeah, it is on YouTube. I could give you a link right now. Very short.
What's my search term on YouTube?
The Miracle Man, but it's easy if I just give you the Bitly link. It's a very short link.
Okay.
You got a pen or it's
I'm going to search it on the Miracle Man. And what's your account name on YouTube?
Norman, and I don't want to give my last name, but
okay, I'll just look for Norman. I'll find it. Don't worry.
All right, can I just give you the link?
Norman, if I can't find it, my 8-year-old will find it for me. So. Whenever I have a computer problem I can't solve, he does solve it. I'll look for your song. Wasn't today wonderful? I mean, just amazing. Be proud, Norman. What borough in New York is your base? Your base?
I'm living in Queens. That's where President Trump
Queens.
Was born.
Yeah, yes. you're a hometown boy for Donald Trump.
Yes.
I know. And are you old enough to remember when Queens was a wonderful place?
Well, I didn't grow up in Queens, actually. I moved to Queens. I grew up in Westchester County, so I don't know that much about Queens.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other. Folks, Westchester County is right there above Manhattan, next door. No, that's wonderful. And, Norman, I was born in Manhattan, and my folks lived next to Pratt Institute, where my dad was a student, in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
So,
what part of Brooklyn?
Well, I've never been there. But right next to Pratt Institute.
Pratt Institute, okay.
Well, wait a minute. I guess I was there when I was born.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But to tell you the truth, to be a Trump supporter in New York City is not an easy thing. You really can't tell people that because the New York City people are pretty hostile to Trump.
So if you went out on the streets of Queens, which is Trump's hometown, with a Make America Great Again red hat, you might have a problem?
Yes, I think so. I don't want to take a chance anyway. In fact, I was where I work, we had a Christmas party, and most people at work do not like him. And
I'll tell you what, Norman, just go with the generality you gave me earlier, because I love you, brother. that's wonderful.
Let me give you the link to the song. You'll find it so easily if I just give you the link. It's bit.ly/mr_MAN.
Okay, I'll find it. And The Miracle Man.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe you'd like to use it. I think it'd really be a great song.
If you've got it, we'll play it. Okay.
All right.
We'll see you, Norman. Thank you. Call in often.
Thank you.
Us New Yorkers got to stick together. All right. Let's talk to Barry in California. I'm also a Californian. That's where I was raised. Go ahead, Barry.
Hey, yeah, I'm originally from Massachusetts, but I've been living out here for 36 years.
Northern or Southern California?
Southern California. I live in Chino.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up
right
in Pacific
Palisades. Ontario, Palisade. California.
Do you know where Pacific Palisades is?
Yes.
Santa Monica.
Less, yes.
Santa Monica.
Yeah.
I grew up there. Go ahead.
But real quickly, the indictments are coming.
Oh God!
People don't understand that.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, no, they're coming.
You mean from John Durham?
Yes.
Brother, I hope you're right.
You need to check out Dave Janda, Dr. J. Dave Janda, on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they.
One thing that's puzzled me is that one of my favorite guys, Joe DeGeneva, who I think has got the, he's really plugged into what you're talking about. Joe DeGeneva has disappeared from TV for like a month, maybe more. I haven't seen him at all. I used to see him all the time. Joe DeGeneva was talking about the fact that John Durham's got the indictments coming. And it may be that DeGeneva had to disappear because he's in the thick of it, and it's real hot in there.
But real quick, they used a dual platform, and they listened into Mr. Trump when he wasn't when he was running or getting ready the Trump Tower. They wired the Trump Tower, and they listened to him until he found out about it. But there's two guys that are whistleblowers that they can't get the government to listen to them, that they made the platforms to listen to for the bad guys, but they've been using it on everybody, not just the president.
Well, see, now this is what the president today in the East Room, he was talking, Barry, about what you're talking about, and he was saying, well, we'll see, because the president, you know, if this is going to be prosecuted, it's going to have to be William Barr, the attorney general. It's going to have to be John Durham, the federal prosecutor in Connecticut, who has been tasked with this area of criminality. These two guys are going to have to produce grand juries and indictments, and they're going to have they're going to have to go pedal to the metal. They're going to have to track down. Go ahead.
They have all the evidence, and all the what just happened, and he just got exonerated. All the stuff, all the 3 years, it needed to happen to show what scums these people really are and how evil they are before the indictments come out. All this had to happen first. You can't just do it all at one time.
Okay.
They had to build up the evidence and all that. Go ahead.
Now, who's the guy you told me to listen to, Dr. Dave Janda? How does Janda spell his last name?
J-A-N-D-A. He was in Reagan's administration. He's a retired orthopedic.
Okay. All right, I will look at that. And brother, I hope you are right and that you're on to something, because that's what we need to hear. People need to put on striped suits and ankle chains and go into Sing Sing for a long time. Well, thank you, buddy. Call back often. I really appreciate your call and everybody else. This was a victorious day. Let's see what he produces in the next 24 hours. I'll see you all tomorrow, Friday night. So long for now.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN,
The Republic Broadcasting Network.